Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Well, Pat, big announcement yesterday with Ben Olsen, somebody you're very familiar with. How about just taking us through how it came about? I know there was some contact, I think, prior as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when I first got the job, there was some contact, as there were with lots of other coaches too. But, you know, certainly at that stage, he didn't want to throw his name in the hat when we were searching for coaches. He said he mentally wasn't ready yet. So for him, I think getting the chance to kind of experience some other things last year, I'm sure he talked about it on your show, but you know, being a broadcaster, you know, being the president of the Spirit, I think gave him a perspective of what he was missing to a certain extent. And he was excited to get back on the field.
So in this process, just for the listener and the people trying to understand it, like, what's the general number of coaches that are interviewed? How does that work? Where are they from? Maybe just give us
Asher
a little.
Asher and I were putting it on paper. I believe we got to low 30s, something on there, you know, give or take a couple. But that's where we got to. And I think the conversations are great because each person you speak to, you learn a little bit more, and this happened the first time, and what you're looking for. And we knew there were kind of three criteria. You know, one was we wanted to make sure we had first division experience. We thought that was important. I think we kind of missed that. You know, we wanted somebody that can, that has MLS experience, I think was important for us. And I think, you know, the last one for us is we wanted somebody that could take us, that we felt could take us to the playoffs, had done that before with a group, whether it was the playoffs or been successful in another league. We felt that was really important. You know, the reality is in our league, it's difficult for a foreign coach. And we spoke to a lot of foreign coaches, and there are a lot of good ones out there that I think, you know, for sometimes I think when you talk to them, just in the back of your mind, it's like, how is a foreign coach going to succeed here? And you know, I think there's been three that have won trophies here. Ronnie Dallaglia just did it with New York last year. Tata Martino, who I think both those teams would argue are very big spenders and have huge support behind them. And then the other one is Gary Smith, who's at Nashville now, who did it back with Colorado. So there hasn't been a ton of successful you know, foreign coaches, and it doesn't mean championships just measure success, but I mean guys that consistently get into the playoffs, you know, and I think Ronnie and Tata definitely have done that, and Sean and Gary Smith have done that, but it's tough to find those guys. And I'll, you know, as you know me, you know, I'm concerned about myself. I want to make sure that I get this right. And if I don't get this hire right, and I take a chance on a foreign guy and I mess it up, well, that's it. I'm done. You know, I want to be here when I see this team become successful again and make the playoffs on a regular basis. So, you know, I want to be up there with them, you know, when we lift a trophy. I want to be on the stage as well. So for me, I felt that going domestic was a safer call, but also I think a guy that has experience and has done it with pretty limited resources.
He's Dynamo General Manager Pat Onstad. Just to echo the sentiments maybe of yesterday of what puts Ben over the top with you. I mean, we all know he's a great guy. We know he's an incredible competitor. But just in your mind, and take me beyond fiery.
Yeah, I think the big one for us is, you know, last year I came in, so I want to be proactive. I want to be a proactive type of style of play. I want to, you know, what does that mean? What's the definition? That's pretty broad. I think for us, the more you kind of get the idea of Houston and the more I come back here and I remember what I loved about this place is it's a gritty town. Like these are, you know, people here are hard workers, you know, it's a gritty town. It's not Dallas. It's not Austin. It's not a little tech capital. It's not, you know, one of these type of things. It's gritty. And I think what I always liked about, you know, teams in Houston is that normally we're fighters. And I think part of the things that frustrated me last year is watching our group and just wanting to see a little more fight from us and a little more bite and a little more, desire to get a result on the field. And so when you talk about Ben Olsen, I mean, that I pretty much just described Ben Olsen. I mean, that's who he was. And we know we can support him well here, I think. So part of it is we started saying, okay, from how are we going to go out and do this coaching search? And part of it was like, here, we have some guys that we know that are going to be at this club that we have that are under contract. You know, so for example, in the middle of the park, Coco and Hector are two guys you want to build around. Sebastian Ferrer is a forward. Well, is Hector and Coco, are they sixes? Not really. They're more like eights. So then what are you looking for? How are you going to play? How are you playing the front foot with those guys? So that's what we went to. And we got to a point saying, okay, let's develop a broad sense of a methodology and how we want to play quote unquote proactive style. How does that look? What's the coach that can implement that? And so when we would talk to coaches, we literally said, this is how we're going to play. Can you coach it? And some of the coaches were quick. Nope. I don't believe in that. I don't like to press on the field. I don't believe I'm much better in a low block. I'm a transition coach. We said, okay, we don't want that. Oh, I don't think that.
So that was easy.
Yeah. So we had not a ton, but there's probably a half dozen coaches that were like, that just doesn't suit me. I go, great. Wrong coach at the wrong time. So, I think by going through that, and then the interview process was really interesting, because at that stage, now you're trying to hear their ideas and how can they bring out the most of our personnel and the guys that we have under contract, and how can they see the system working, and what tweaks do they need within that system to make it work? What sort of personnel changes would you need? And I think when you start having those conversations, it became a lot clearer on who the leading candidates were.
He's Dynamo General Manager Pat Onstad. Okay, high-pressing system, progressive. You want to be more fiery. I'm going to come back to the fiery. But, Ben admittedly yesterday said, look, we were a grind-em-out team in D.C. We were a mid-block team. So you have faith that Ben can implement this pressing style, because it's not a way he's been used to coaching.
No, exactly. And we're going to support him. And I think in the next coming weeks, you'll see the support that we're hiring around him to help support that. But one of the things when you say high pressing, I want people to kind of take a step back. This isn't like your New York Red Bull high press, but I don't want us to be a team that sits in a low block and sits there, absorbs pressure, and then tries to be on the break. So whether that's a mid block, there's going to be times it's soccer. Our league, especially, I mean, LAFC gets pinned back. So does Philadelphia at times. So, Philadelphia is much more comfortable that way, but it's, when I say pressing, for me, the picture I have more of anything with us in our heat in the hometown is how do we react when we lose the ball? Well, the biggest thing, if we're going to react quickly and win the ball and keep teams pinned in, is we need to get numbers around the ball to begin with. So that now talks to more your offensive side. How do you get numbers in the box? How do you get people? So when the ball does go in the box, they don't just clear it out and all of a sudden you're defending transition. You're able to keep them pinned in. You know, who do you have kind of, who's in that net, stopping the ball as it gets knocked out? So I think that's kind of the basis of what we were talking about when I say pressing. Like we're pressing high in terms of we're not losing the ball. We're not going, okay, let's get back 80 yards now, let's defend. I just think that's difficult, A, to watch. And I think as players, it's not enjoyable when you're saying, okay, let's hope the other team makes a mistake and then we'll transition 80 yards. Let's see if we can win the ball and be proactive. And that's essentially where that phrase comes from.
Pat Onstad, Dynamo General Manager, joining us. We're talking about the Houston Dynamo. Ben Olsen named the new coach here. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm. I'm taking you a little bit further into this whole pressing game. I mean, personnel aside and spend aside, do you look at LAFC? Do you look at Austin FC as potential blueprints, as something to maybe design yourselves after?
Yeah, it's to some extent. Well, I think Austin is a little different in the way they build from the back, and they spent a little differently. The irony is you're talking about two essentially expansion teams. And when you have a blank canvas and you walk in and you say, here's your extra gam and go for it, and then build your team, it becomes a nice process in the sense that you have a little bit more wiggle room. For us, one of the things we're trying to do in this offseason is trying to open up cap space. We're trying to open so we can make moves that will significantly influence what we're putting out on the field. And try to give Ben the tools to be successful. So, that's That's certainly a piece that I think I underestimated when I got here, that it would be a little bit easier to get some flexibility in our cap. But unfortunately, it wasn't. But we keep pushing forward and try to make sure that we can do that.
Is the Austin risk that they take in the game, which is very exciting, and it leads to mistakes during the year, and they concede goals. They admit that. Is that type of risk taking something that we might see in the future?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not. I think there's a happy medium between it.
And you probably wouldn't like it as a goalkeeper.
No, as a goalie, you know, that was. I can tell a good story with Greg Berhalter when I was coaching. So we went through that kind of phase. But I think when you look at the way they played, they became a little more pragmatic this year. I think the year before, when they were eating a lot of goals, trying to build out, and they were determined to do it, I still think it was a great process for them to go through. So watching their team, obviously I know the coach fairly well, Josh Wolf. I've worked together for 5 years, but watching them closely, you know, they've become a much different team. They still build out, but they're much more pragmatic with that now. They're, you know, if they're playing a high press team and they're not having success, they're not afraid to take a long goal kick. Like, it's not the year before. Great, high press team. We're going through this, and we're going to figure it out. And a lot of times it was to their detriment, but I think they become a little bit more pragmatic in that. Now, you know, LA, on the other hand, is fairly pragmatic in their buildup. They're not as stressed on playing out of pressure. They'll still do it. Don't get me wrong. They have the players and the ability to do it. But in the end, for them, it's all more about the front half. How do they get in the front half? And then how do they react when they do lose the ball? They have a really good reaction, and they do a good job of repressing when they lose the ball. So, to me, if you ask me more, we would hope to look like probably more in the LA mold, in the sense that how do we're able to build to a certain extent when it's high press, we're pragmatic. But once we get in the other half, can we dominate and control and keep these guys pinned in? I think if you can do that with our Heat, experiencing on both sides and seeing it, it becomes difficult for teams when they just can't get out and they can't get a breath, can't get their foot on the ball. It's very powerful.
Dynamo General Manager Pat Onstad joining us, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. So back to the pressing game. In order to pull this off, there's no question you're going to have to make some good roster moves between now and the beginning of the season, right? I mean, you're not going to be able to play this way with the current roster.
No, there's definitely some players that we'll have to move on from, you know, and I think the expansion draft, we have moved on from. You know, we'll see what happens in the expansion draft, but there will be some changes. You know, one of the things I don't know if we want to address this now, but I'll let you bring that up in a second episode here. But I think it's for us, again, it's about trying to open space to give options. But yes, we have to get better. If we bring out the same team and expect a different result, I believe that's insanity is how they term that, right? That's, I'm not sure.
10 spots open, I think is correct. 16 under contract currently. You got the 3DPs, Hector, Coco, Sebas. If we look at decisions that have to be made November 14th, and I'm just looking at my notes here with Darwin, Zeca, and Memo, are there ongoing discussions to keep those players here, obviously?
With those three, Darwin, Memo, and Zeca, there are no discussions taking place.
Okay.
Yeah. Those three.
So November 14th, we'll find out what their futures are.
Yeah. I mean, that would be the case. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sources told me Albert Delis really wants to come back to Major League Soccer, which was pretty surprising to me, being 26 years of age. And also said that he wants to come back to Houston. He likes how he was treated here in the past. I think his parents live here. I know your DP slots are filled. Has there been any pursuant of him? Is there any possibility for him? Because he got a lot of reaction when people heard that.
Yeah, I mean, he's under contract with another team, so it's pretty difficult to talk in detail on another player. But to your point on the mechanism of him would be a DP. We would have to move a DP slot out to be able to move one in. And then on top of that, we'd have to move to the top of the allocation order. So there'd be some work to do to get a player like that. But we don't have to move to the top of allocation. But it'd be some work to do on that in terms of the DP slot. That'd be a lot of work to do.
So Tam and all of that, and Gam, do you have some of those resources
Not as much as I'd like.
You want
not as much as I'd like. I always want more. But I bet, listen, you say that to 28 other CSOs and they'll all say the same. Yeah. Now, I was talking to St. Louis today and they were already complaining about other running out of money. So, and then the ones with the extra 2 million. So we all complain about that.
Dynamo General Manager Pat Onstad, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Just moving on here, it sounds as though the under 22 initiative is going to be very important for you guys at this
absolutely.
Time.
Yeah. We have two EYPS slots and we expect to certainly fill one, and we're hoping to fill two with the right type of players in certain spots. So that saves us a lot. That's only 200 on the cap for us, which makes a big difference when you don't have a lot of cap space. So those, you'd expect two of them, I think, on the field come certainly come first kick. You know, whether they'll be here for preseason January 6th remains to be seen.
And you want those guys to be starters, I would assume.
I would hope one of them would be. I would hope definitely one of them. Yeah.
Pat, can you give us any inclination? Are you looking South America? Have you had contacts in Europe?
Yeah. We've all been traveling quite a bit. Definitely South America is I think where we have our eye on. I think especially with the young player, that's where, I mean, a young European player is pretty expensive, pretty quick. If you get an 18-year-old and he's, you know, able to make La Liga or Premier League, that they're probably out of our price range. But South America, there's some guys that we like and guys that we think can make a difference for our club.
Marcelo Palomino is kind of a favorite because he's a local. Any thoughts on him?
Yeah, he won't be back with us next year. The big issue with him, he has a pretty high option trigger that went really high, and it's not something we're going to pick up. So at this point, you know, we know he did very well with the second team. I thought he had an exceptional season, was a big reason for the success with that, with Kenny Bundy's team there. But he won't be back with us next year, unfortunately.
Is that the kind of player you think with another year at Dynamo 2 could be a first team player in MLS, or is it a long shot?
Yeah. You know, and hope I'm proven wrong, because I think Marcelo will do everything to prove me wrong. But in our minds, he'd be a long shot, but he's got some qualities. He's got some qualities that some teams, hopefully in the league, will give him an opportunity.
Back to the under 22 initiative. We're talking to Dynamo general manager, Pat Onstad. You know, Ben alluded to a list that you guys had of players, and is there anyone on there that really seems to excite you a lot, even though you got to kind of keep it restrained here because the deal isn't done?
Yeah. I mean, there's some guys that we're certainly having, feelers out for. You know, I'm hopping on a plane to go watch a couple this weekend, the last weekend, you know, for kind of games before the World Cup. So we'll see. I hopefully we get things done sooner than later. I don't want to be, you know, scrambling and signing too many players after January. I'd like to have these guys in as soon as possible, just to get them acclimatized to what's going on here, getting used to the league, get them up to speed as quick as possible, especially now we'll be implementing like a new, you know, system of play. So I think there's going to be a lot of learning for the whole group. And it would just be nice that everyone's doing that at the same time.
Dynamo general manager Pat Onstad. So I guess from the outside, if this is a general take, and I know there's a lot more to it than what I'm about to say, but it's obvious that you're looking for more players higher up the field that are young, aggressive, quick, creative, can apply in this and help employ this pressing style and turn winning the ball into good areas, into goals and goal scoring chances.
Yeah. We feel like we have, some good players up there now, but we also feel we need to add to it. And to your point, depth and maybe a starting piece, but you know, we feel Corey had a good end to the year when he kind of what's the best way to put it, maybe got out of the doghouse and got an opportunity to play. You know, he has a quality that not necessarily anyone else in our group has. He runs behind often, so he'll stretch the back line and create space underneath for players and in the pockets, and he's a guy that has a nose for goal. He'll press well, he works hard off the ball. I think in the last, you know, five or six games, you could kind of see his quality coming out. He did well in this league. It's not like all of a sudden he became a poor attacking player in the league all of a sudden. But unfortunately for him, last year was a difficult year. He'll be going into his last year of his contract, you know, fighting for free agency and trying to win a new contract. So I think We're pretty happy. He's happy we picked up his option. We're excited to have him back. I think that's and get him healthy and have him here for the beginning of the season and on the field. And then also we're pretty happy with Sebastian Ferrer, but we know we can get more out of him. He's good in the box. He's a good finisher. He's not fantastic hold up guy. He works hard at it, but he's still got a long ways to go in that. But his big one is we need him in the box. But if he's in the box against three defenders, it doesn't help. So we need Corey in the box. We need the other wide attacking midfielder in the box. So we need our guys a little more narrow and more direct getting in the box. So if we can get numbers in the box, I think that'll help Sebastian Ferrer a lot.
So back to your point on Corey Baird, and you know, I put myself in your shoes a lot, and I'm like, man, this is a difficult, difficult decision to make. And of course, he's lighting it up at the end of the year. That maybe the circumstances are a little artificial because you're not in the playoffs. There's a new coach. Everybody's motivated with Kenny Bundy. How difficult of a decision is that? Because, you know, these are things that can move the needle one way or the other.
No, it's tricky. Yeah, it's tricky. And the contract situations are always tricky. The issue is we see a lot of spots that we feel we need to improve, and we have to go get these players. And the reality is, to get a deal done, it doesn't happen with one phone call and a quick signature. It takes a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of calls and a lot of patience, and sometimes hopping on planes and getting in front of players, getting in front of teams, to negotiate to get a deal done. For every deal you get done, you've probably taken another 5 to 10 down a line, then they failed. So it's tricky to do that. So sometimes when you look at the players you have on the roster and you think, could we get a little better? Maybe. And this is not necessarily so much to say about Corey, because I think he's good at it, but you have to take that into account in terms of what you're doing. But the one nice thing is, you know, Corey wanted to come back. And again, I'll keep harping to this. We want guys that want to be here. You know, he was disappointed how the season started, but very happy with how he played at the end. Mm-hmm. And he's got some, and he goes, I got something to prove. Let me play my deal out. And you know, we offered him a little bit of a longer deal, but a little bit of a reduced rate to give him some more security. And he said, nope, I'll pick my option up and let me play it out. Let me show to you what I can do and show you that I'm worth my money. And that's the type of player that you want to have on your roster. That's hungry and has a lot to prove. So we're excited for him this year.
Yeah. Like that attitude. Dynamo general manager, Pat Onset. And I appreciate all that information, but I was kind of alluding to, does that last 4 or 5 games? Do you make a decision?
No. That's always kind of nodding my head. No, it's, I mean, that's a good point. I think for Corey, you almost have to. And the reason I would say for him is because he really didn't get much of an opportunity prior to that. Certainly didn't get a ton of run of games. He might get a game here and a game there. And a lot of times he wasn't even dressing. So I think you do have to base a lot of him. The rest of the, you know, for most of the group that had long stretches and periods of play, it's a little easier to say, okay, what's their full body of work? So for us, you know, the nice thing is he did do well. And so he's increased his value within the league. And he's also increased his value to be able to say, yeah, you know what, you guys can pick my option up and I'll show you. So I think that those are the decisions you have to make as a club, as a GM for that matter. But I'm excited to see what he can do. I also think the one guy that didn't get many minutes and he's still trying to figure out our league was Nelson Quiñones. And, you know, we had a closed door match against the national team up in Dallas, after the season with the guys that were still here, and Nelson had a fantastic game, a really, really good game. Like it was a nice 2 weeks, I think, for him to get a chance to train a little bit more with the first group. And he had a fantastic game. He's got a different gear that we don't have a lot of guys that have that. It's impressive.
Dynamo general manager Pat Onset, how about at the back? Obviously you look pretty solid at the center back position. You interested in an additional wing back maybe? And I know you got Sam Junkie you're trying to bring back.
Yeah. I mean, we're always looking to improve in all those positions. I think, you know, we started off the year very well defensively. And I think that kind of kept us in games early on. But for whatever reason, you know, I have my theories. I don't want to really share those, but there were some issues that we couldn't kind of overcome. And we started giving up more goals than we should have. So that was a bit disappointing. So I think for us, we're evaluating every piece of the roster and trying to figure out where we can get better. And, you know, part of this too, is, as you'd mentioned earlier, is how do you find cap space? And sometimes you might have to sacrifice a player that people may think, hey, that's a pretty good player. But if it allows you to bring two good pieces in and you have to move one good player, then sometimes you have to do that to open up some space and make some more moves.
Yeah, this is tricky stuff to wrap your arms around. How about within the league? Obviously, I would think you're tracking some players in the league potentially for a trade.
Yeah, there's some guys that we're out there talking to, and some teams. This is the time when teams actually have a little bit of time to talk to one another. So we are looking at, you know, moving some players out, but also trying to see which guys we can bring in.
Well, Pat, listen, as always, very generous with your time. Thank you very much for coming on tonight. Congratulations getting your coach, and congratulations in advance for getting your roster put together ahead of 2023.
Great. Thanks, Glenn. Thanks for having me on.
All right. That's Dynamo General Manager Pat Onstad, brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.